Welcome to episode 294 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We'd love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is George, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, and Donna. The happiest place on earth has finally released the park rules and schedules for reopening, and with all of the changes coming to a Walt Disney World vacation, even seasoned park veterans will be challenged to navigate the parks. Tonight, we're going to discuss the new rules and attempt to help you plan a new normal Walt Disney World vacation. So let's get started.
Well, can we just agree that new normal yeah. needs to just go away?
Yeah.
Yes.
But that said,
bring back the old
normal. Way George wrote these show notes and the way he wrote them, I'm like, yes, it's a challenge. I'm ready. I'm going to beat this system. So that's a good way to look at it. So where shall we start with all the change? And incidentally, I would like to say, and you guys can disagree with me if you want, but I don't suggest that you do, that these are all necessary right now, considering the state of the world. We don't have a vaccine. We don't have a...
And I feel like we got to do the regular disclaimer.
Tomorrow,
the COVID disclaimer that this could change.
Yes.
We're recording this Monday. It could change by Tuesday. And you won't actually hear this until at least another Monday. So, yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I think when this podcast is released, we will not have yet experienced what's happening in the parks yet. So we're actually current and, as I like to say, hip and with it. Yes.
I just lost any cool points.
Mom, what can I say?
Yes.
So what do you guys think is the biggest bummer about them? What do you think is the biggest takeaway so far of what's changing?
Well, let's focus on the positive, right? People are being moved to villas.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, unless you booked a villa, in which case you're not moving. Upgrade. So... yes. For most people, it is a bright side, for sure.
The parks are opening.
Yes.
They are opening. That's a positive.
They will be less crowded.
And they'll be quiet. I was thinking about this today. I'm like, how much of that sound is the mask going
to mind? I can't hear you when you're right next to me.
And all the music and the parades and everything, which, I mean, a lot of people really like them, but some people just, for me personally, I like to pay for the dessert, you know, service, so that I don't have to sit in that crowd watching the parade. I can sit on the patio in Tomorrowland and have my dessert and watch the fireworks and the parade and everything.
Well, but no fireworks and no parades, so...
And no dessert party.
But I mean, but those massive crowds.
Right.
So that's a huge positive.
Yes, I agree.
For me personally.
I agree.
And there's no fast passes. And I, you know, I'm still in that camp of I think fast passes slowed everything down. And so there'll be less people. And so this will be like a little trip back in time for anybody who can remember.
It'll be an experiment. Yeah. To see.
Yeah, it'll be a nice experiment to see. But there's no park hopping, so you're kind of committing.
Now, are they going to do the chits for the day, like they did many, many, many years ago? You basically...
What?
You used to go in, and you used to put your pass in or whatever.
No.
You get a chit that would say, come back at this certain
time.
No
fast passes at all.
My understanding is they're using the fast pass lines, that there won't be any standby lines, so...
Yes. And that they're taped off like they are at Harris Teeter or at Costco, where you've got 6 feet in between each family unit. So, which of course, we'll see how that goes. But that's the idea, is they're using all of that queue space as one big long line so that people can be spaced apart from each other.
As somebody who doesn't like to be like pressed in upon,
I agree. And I love that there are millions and millions of people who come to Disney World and experience it with their own culture and their own take on things. But I have had a kid's face like literally in my butt before, like against my butt. And I kept, because they're not used to that personal space, which again, I totally respect the culture, but it makes me very uncomfortable and I don't like it. So part of me is like, I will take two sticks with me, one in front of me and one behind me that's 6 feet long, and I'll feel justified. I don't think Disney will actually let me go into the parks that way, but carrying big sticks into the parks is usually frowned upon.
Maybe with pool noodles.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, wear the noodle on your head.
Pool noodle hat.
Yes. So that will be nice. But I also have to wonder, so we're sort of jumping around here, but let's talk about lines, because the other thing are the lean rails, which the lean rails are notoriously disgusting. Can we agree on that?
Oh, just boogers.
I've seen kids lick them.
Germ fill. Every substance known to man is probably out there. Like if they
so I'm really curious how they will keep that clean, because you have people standing in the line leaning against them, which I'm sure people will do. A, habit. B, I mean, they're clean, right? So
I lean my butt against it just to kind of take some of the weight off my back.
That's using it as it was intended to be used. But have you never touched it? Really?
Of course I have.
They were going to be sending cast members.
Yep. That's what I think is going to happen. Yeah.
I remember when they used to give you that check the line badge and you carried it all the way through. I think that's going to be a person with a clean.
Or they literally will give you a wipe the whole time so that you can have the wipe under your hand. as you move along. Yeah. I mean, I wonder, there's so much potential here, and it's not bad. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I wonder, with the crowds lower and the spacing in the lines, will the lines be that long? You know, everybody's very upset about losing their fast passes, and I get that. But if you look at it, like, this is not the Disney you expected it to be, but it's still going to be awesome-ish.
Yeah, maybe? I wonder if, like, 30-minute wait times are going to be more the norm, you know?
You're right, which...
I don't think they're going to change at all.
You know,
the wait times?
Let's take a pirate's boat. What's that normally hold?
Good point.
Four rows of four. So now it may, instead of having 16 people in it, it may have four. So even
or though eight.
You're running half as many people through the attraction, it can only take half as many.
That depends on your party size. It's going to depend on your family's party size, though, because a party of five, well, then you've got five in there.
But you're probably not putting more than two families on each boat, right? Two groups.
You're probably keeping the middle rows empty. Yeah.
So now would be the time to go to Disney with a lot of
people. I'll be in one boat.
You can fill up your own.
Although I don't think it's the time to go if it's your, you know, your one and only trip.
Yeah.
That's very true. What do you think about the dining? Because I at first it was really disappointing, and I know why they have to do it, because they're going to have to keep up with whatever the current rules are for Florida. And
I guess we should take a step back and say what they did.
Yeah.
Like, it's when they announced all this to explain the dining
Go ahead.
And stuff. So basically, when they announced their opening, they stopped taking reservations for this. And then they canceled dining plans for the rest of the year and canceled dining reservations for the rest of the year. So basically, if you had a booking with the dining plan on it, your dining plan went away and your reservations got canceled. So go ahead, Lindsay.
So, and obviously, a lot of people were very upset because, I mean, you plan the dining 180 days out, you plan your whole trip around dining, and if you can't get what you want, some people will move dates to get what they want. It's kind of a big thing. But I think the positive on this, they are being safe. They're staying with whatever the statute, whatever the regulations are going to be at that time, because we're all going in these phases of reopening. And what's true for us today might not be true on July 1st or August or September or whenever your trip was. So I think maybe we'll see the dining change in that time period. And maybe, like I was talking about with the fast passes, we might, for the people who are lucky enough who choose to go, might get to experience what it's like to, can you imagine walking up to Cinderella's castle and getting a same day reservation?
It's happened to me.
Yep. It's a dream come true for me. I think that, I mean, I remember when the dining window was much shorter, and even then it seemed like you were having to make reservations way in advance. So I would usually go without any reservations, and I would do that weird thing, that AT&T booth at Epcot, and talk to the person with the curtain behind them,
yeah,
and get a reservation. And I loved it. I felt so 20th century. 21st
I remember that too.
And
because you were talking to somebody on a screen.
Yeah, so it's like a video phone. Yeah. I mean, imagine we're recording this on a Zoom, and like back then it was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And so to me, that ability to be wherever you are in the park, and that's the other thing for me. There's really not any bad there. Okay, there's a little bit of bad dining at Disney World, but it's pretty few and far between. You can make the most out of any dining situation. You could literally be in any section of any park and find something delicious to eat. And so I love the dining plan because food is so expensive and there's so much pressure to eat, you know, to make your reservations in advance. But if you've taken that out of the equation, the serendipity of, oh, Brown Derby. Huh, all right, I'll eat here. Yeah.
Or how many times, I mean, I know this has happened to me, this has to have happened to a lot of other people, where you have that's the one time in your schedule you can get that one reservation that you want, and you get it, and that time comes to go to that Le Cellier, but you're not feeling steak. You want pizza from Via Napoli, and now you committed.
Yeah.
Well, but I can also see the other side of that, where, you know, it's so convenient, basically, to just to, you know, give them your magic band and say, okay, here's my meal. It's done.
Yeah.
I don't have to mess with it. Then having to mess with cash and credit cards and all that other stuff.
You can still link a credit card to your magic band and do the
touch. You just have to pay. Yes. You just have to pay for it.
Yes. It was so much, it was the convenience. It wasn't necessarily where you were eating or what you were eating, but it was just the convenience of it's done.
Yes.
I don't have to think about it.
I don't think, yeah, it's not going to be gone forever. It'll be back. But I think in the meantime, these people who are going have this opportunity to do the spontaneous trip to Disney that I miss that. I miss being able to decide last minute where I wanted to go and kind of see if I could get in there for the next day or even that day. And I miss that being able to meet up with your friends and go have a meal. So I think if we're looking on the bright side, because there's so much.
Yeah.
Let's change.
Well, see, this is all new to me because every time I went to Disney World, that's how we always did.
Yes. That's how
we never had a dining plan. So we always would just walk up and it's like, okay, well, you can go, you know, sit down in an hour. It's like, okay, well, we're going to go ride this ride. We'll be back in an hour.
And I've had so many clients, you know, ask me, well, so you mean I have to decide where I want to eat 6 months in advance? And it's ridiculous when you know, everybody's so clinging to this, but it's like, it's really ridiculous. Like, I don't even plan my birthday meal 6 months in advance, and I know exactly when my birthday is. Like,
am I going to want sushi at 7 o'clock on
it's
Tuesday?
Crazy, crazy. So for me, what the reserving 180 days in advance? Really?
I'm up at 6 a.m. 180 days in advance. Yep, making them reservations.
Is it like competitive dining to you? Is it like, ooh, I got it?
No, it's just, I don't know. I just, maybe it's the crazy planner, but I want to know exactly where I'm eating. I mean, we almost plan what we're eating 6 months in advance, too.
Yeah, you're kind of picky, aren't you, George?
No. Probably because
you're not picky, or you don't change your mind.
Yeah, I guess I'm picky to an extent. I'm not a foo-foo kind of guy. So, you know, 50s prime time with pot roast.
And, oh, that's my favorite.
See?
It is very
good. They go there every time. Yep. Gotta have mom's meatloaf.
So,
if there's a food festival going on and I'm at Disney, I have the hardest time. I will regret my dining commitments.
Well, but see, George plans for that. He's like, I will plan to not regret.
And I've never done the dining plan.
Yeah.
No.
Lots of people don't. No. Yeah. And real talk, the dining plan cannot work right now. Disney cannot sell you a dining plan and promise you that you will be able to use it. Like, there is,
right.
The value is not there. And as much as people want to joke about Disney and how much it costs and everything, Disney is all about value. Like, what they provide you for the money you pay is a very high value. And they know that in this situation, they cannot deliver on that. And they will not offer it if they cannot deliver on it. That is not the Disney way. Walt would be up in their face about it. So, and I don't mean to invoke the name, but yeah, that is not the way it is done. And so I actually respect that. I mean, I think that in this case, yes, it's very disappointing. 2020 is very disappointing, people. That's just the way it is. So
that's kind of a nice segue into another thing that they cannot provide value on or be responsible for, which is airfare.
That's new. Yeah.
Which is, that's brand new, taking the airfare out of the bookings. And it makes complete sense because let's just be real talk here. Air is going to be crazy.
Yes.
Well, they probably got really burned with airfare when all the mess hit the fan, and they had to be the ones canceling, and you couldn't call like Delta yourself. And
with all the flight changes and the flights being removed, and now we're entering this new period in air travel where we're gonna have more time between flights, we're not gonna have as many flights going to the same route, we're not gonna have the same schedules, you're gonna see more flight changes and more people being shifted around. It is just too big of a time commitment for them right now to be adding those into the package.
We should say that they are still having Magical Express though.
Yes.
So you book your own air and or your agent does. And yeah, you still get
the another reason to have a travel agent, because we can take care of that for you. But and it's true that the whole industry is upside down right now. And so it really is important to take stock and say, and I've heard people say, well, they shouldn't have bothered reopening if it can't be like it always was. And I just have to say, we really need as human beings to understand that things are not always the way they were. And that's actually why we're here today. Again, we're recording a podcast on Zoom. You know, while we're in quote quarantine, all those various states are at various stages, but this is magic compared to what things were 20 years ago. And so what it always was is kind of irrelevant in this situation. And I think, you can still enjoy the Disney vacation you're getting, assuming you're in the right mindset for it. Now, again, if you wanted to be sure you ate at Cinderella's Royal Table and you wanted to be sure you, but if your kid, you know, we for Finley's third birthday, we ate at Cinderella's Royal Table, and that was the plan. If that was the plan, then you have to decide, because that kid's not going to be three again. I mean, like, that, this is a moment. So do you go and make the most of it and do the thing, you know, whether it's Cinderella or whatever you can do when you're there for the three-year-old that's at Disney World, or do you wait and do Disney in a way that you feel more comfortable doing it? So just because Disney isn't what you want it to be right now doesn't mean that it doesn't have value to a lot of people.
And I think you'd be waiting a long time if you want it to only open exactly as it was in February.
They couldn't anyway, because if they waited to open, they'd still have to take these steps to do it responsibly. They still have to ease back into it. There's no picture where they can just throw open the gates.
Right. And I think that we're just not used to it. We're just not used to not being able to do whatever we want to be able to do. And that is different. The thing is, Disney has never allowed us to do exactly what we want to do, right? You've always had to make your dining reservations 180 days in advance, or you wouldn't get to eat at that restaurant you wanted to eat at. You always had to make your fast passes. So there were always rules. So the rules are just different. So you just go with the different rules.
And I do think it's going to have, you know, the happiness in what you get out of your trip is going to rely heavily. It always does, but even more so now on the attitude you have going in. If you are going into your trip thinking, oh, I really wanted the parades and the fireworks, and I don't feel like I'm getting the value for my money, and this is awful, and these aren't the memories I want to create, then maybe you need to postpone. If you can find the magic, because there is still magic there, there's still many things that a lot of us love. I would just like to hear the music. I just want to walk down Main Street and hear
smell the popcorn,
see the castle,
smell the fake popcorn scent that's coming up from the ground, see the castle. There's still so much enjoyment and happiness to be found there. But I think the people who go first are going to have a lot of patience and a lot of grace and a lot of understanding that this is new. No one's done this before. There was no.
I think it's going to be a lot of patience on the part of the cast members as well.
Yeah.
Because people are going to get frustrated because they expect it to go a certain way and it doesn't go that way. And the cast members have to basically.
Yeah. Although
they have to be personable.
Yes. Although I would say that it's not the cast member's responsibility. That's sort of victim blaming in some ways. It's a guest's responsibility to go in and understand that it's not what they thought it was going to be. Like,
oh, I agree.
You have to go in.
We're talking about
people. Yes, I understand. Yeah. So, and I think that's so important. And I mean, we've seen it in America already where places have shut down after being open because people were jerks once they got in there. So, it will be interesting. I think knowing it's different could be a great thing. And like I said, the way George wrote these notes, it's a challenge. It's a new thing. You see it as a new place. You see it as a new experience. I bet it's still pretty cool. And seeing people now going into Universal, they're getting a lot out of those trips. I mean, from what I'm hearing, you guys seeing the same thing? Theme park experience, riding rides, virtual lines.
Yeah, they're not waiting in the lines like they normally do for, hours on end. Because you're at 50% capacity, and so you take those same number of people and you spread them out over the same number of rides. Most of the rides are taking 15 to 30 minutes, whereas sometimes it takes, an hour to 2 hours to get through a line.
Sounds like a dream to me.
Disney Springs has been open for
a couple of weeks.
I thought I saw something about them implementing a system to get into World of Disney so they could control the amount of people that were going in and avoiding anyone else.
Say that again?
For World of Disney?
Yes, they've got cast members and they've got ropes outside.
Oh, don't they have like a reservation system where you come back, like they text you and you come back?
Yeah, where you come back. That should be forever. I think.
I wonder if they're going to do virtual queues. Have you guys heard this? I mean, that's what they were doing for the Rise of the Resistance. So, seems like they kind of have a system.
That would make sense, and they could just expand the app.
As we record this, their entire reservation system is shut down for them to redo it to allow for this. So it may have really forced a change that we all kind of wanted to have happen all along, reserve your space in the park and, make sure, then yes, it sounds frustrating now because you're like, will I get in? Will it be okay? But until they actually release it and I see that it's a success or a disaster, I can't really judge it because it has the potential to be kind of awesome. I would much rather know before I went to Magic Kingdom that I'm not getting into Magic Kingdom than to get to Magic Kingdom and be turned away,
on New Year's?
Yes, exactly. Or Christmas or Easter. Yeah. I mean, you want to know before, know what you're going to do. So all these people who plan 6 months out are like, oh God, I have to reserve which park I'm going into. It's okay. You used to do it anyway. You used to reserve the restaurant so you knew where you had to be. Yes, you could park hop if you paid for that. But a lot of my clients, especially my first time clients, do not park hop. And I actually don't park hop when I'm going with other people who haven't been lots and lots of times, because there's plenty to do in one park in a day,
Well, and there's also not the extra magic hours.
Right.
So
you don't have as much.
So it really doesn't, if you look at the things that made you plan a certain park on a certain day, extra magic hours might have been it, or it might have been the fireworks show that is, not there that other night, So you take all that out of the picture and it doesn't matter if you go on Monday or Tuesday,
important to stay in one park. Because for me, the park hopping was always about getting to another park in time for a show or for a dining reservation. And for enjoying the later hours in another park. So I do think you can get a lot of enjoyment without having to do that. And it might actually take some of the stress of trying to get from one location to another away. So people that are going to be going, they're opening, when are they opening Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom first, right? July 11th. It says Epcot and Hollywood Studios, July 15th. And then the only places to stay will be the villas and the campgrounds.
Yes, that's the latest, yes. And so if you had a reservation elsewhere other than the villas or the campgrounds, they will be moving you. And Sandy, you were talking about this because this was, I've been trying to follow this, but the news has been rather sketchy. So a lot of this comes from what they're telling clients. So Sandy, what is the latest on this?
So you have, well, so the latest that I read is, they're sending emails right now to clients who have bookings up through July 11th. So it's kind of like when they were doing the cancellation week by week. So now they're sending it out if you have a reservation. And they're going to tell you that they're going to change you to one of these resorts. If you have a reservation beyond that and you want to go ahead and modify that, then you're going to pay the difference. But if you just kind of wait and let them change it for you, then, you know, I mean, but who knows? Maybe by then they won't.
Right. So by then, maybe they will not actually, maybe that hotel will be open. So maybe then.
Right. Because this is all before the park's open that they're doing.
That's what I've been
saying. So it could be that you're in like a value resort and they push you up to like the Polynesian.
The villas at the Polynesian.
Exactly.
Yes. But yes, that could be. So I think that's the thing is the rumors are that they're doing this to everybody in 2021. And it's like, no, they're doing it for people in the next few weeks. Don't think that this is going to happen if you're going in September. That by then they're going to open more and more resorts. They're just having to do it slowly. So that's,
we just watched the world change so much in 3 months. Can you imagine, like, 3 months from now?
Well, and I think the villas make sense because of the kitchens. So,
well, also because they are property owners that have a right to access their property. So I think also real estate laws, it seems to be. So, because that's also Hilton Head is opening. The Aulani isn't, but a lot of that is because of the Hawaii. You know, Hawaii is you know,
it's still locked down.
It's still really locked down. Right. Yes. So, I think that's the other thing is if you're going in September, what's happening right now actually may not be relevant. Yes, they did. They will cancel your dining plan. They're going to do that.
Yeah. Dining is changed.
The dining, I think my October, but that's the thing. My October guests, their dining plan has been canceled. Their park hoppers have not.
Right.
Maybe I'm alone in that, but I don't think that, I don't think that's a mistake. I think that is like they're canceling the dining plan because they know that they cannot handle that level of service for a while. But I think park hopping is something that could feasibly happen later. Not tomorrow, not July, but my clients in October still have park hoppers. My clients in November still have park hoppers.
There you go.
Actually, my September people didn't have park hoppers. None of them did. So. They never did.
My September people lost the dining, but they still have park hoppers.
So I think Disney will wait. That's the other thing. Disney's so good. So they will lower your expectations so that they can exceed them every single time. Anyone who's worked for Disney knows that this is actually a company policy. They will lower your expectations so that they can exceed them. And so I would be very surprised if things aren't much better than people are anticipating them being. And I kind of wish that I had a reservation July 11th. You can't make one right now. otherwise I would have.
I'm looking forward to going. I feel like maybe the service will be a little more personalized. You know, I hope so. So there's a big elephant in the room that we haven't talked about. The masks. We are going to have to wear masks.
Oh, I don't consider that an elephant.
Really? Some people, that's a really big deal.
I can tell from George's face, he thinks it's a big deal.
It's a big deal in South Florida in the summer.
Yeah. I will say I'm asthmatic. I've had two asthma attacks with masks on so far. And if you have breathing problems, the paper surgical ones are totally the way to go. Get a box, get whatever you need for your family. The cloth ones are cute, but they are going to smother you in that.
And this is the thing too. So many people are like, a mask is so inhumane. Well, then the next time you go into surgery, we'll just tell all the doctors and nurses not to wear masks, because they are literally cutting your body open and fixing things with a mask on their face. I respect like what George is saying. It's hot. It's uncomfortable. Then you don't go. If you can't do that, then you don't go. It's Disney World. You're not going to die if you don't go to Disney World.
I know it might feel like it, but...
But honestly, if it feels like it, then it's probably worth it to wear a mask to you, you know? And I agree, the surgical ones are actually, it's highly recommended, and they're considered to be also some of the best for doing what masks are supposed to do, which is if you are sick and you don't realize it, you're asymptomatic, it will prevent others from getting sick. And that really is... like the key to all of this is we're thinking about others. The mask is not about you. The mask is about everybody else. So yeah.
And if you need, you know, if you need to, like, I don't know that I would want to be in the park from park rope drop to close wearing a mask. I think that idea is out for me. If I go, it's going to be,
And Universal has rest areas where you can take the mask off, you know, so you social distance, you take the mask off. So I would imagine Disney will have something similar.
That makes sense, because if you're far away from people and you're outside, then you're probably, you know,
some hidden spots in all over Disney World.
All the ex-smoking areas.
Yes. Well, and I mean,
the former smoking areas are not going to be
true. I'm a power seizer, so I could probably make people 20 feet away from me sick, but I will try my best to control my power sneezing. But that, you know, it's a different pace. And so that's where we get right back to what we said at the beginning. If this is your first trip to Disney and you wanted to hit the parks, and every one of us, I think, maybe not George. George is laid back, so maybe not. But we've all like been military parks, like dawn to dusk. We'll hit
rope drop to fireworks.
Yeah. George, have you done this, or are you more laid back about it?
Yeah, we'll go open to close. But a lot of times, when I do my touring plan, I'll put a 3-hour break in the afternoon to go.
That's not open to close. That's not what I'm talking about.
And see, we do like 11 o'clock in the morning till like close.
So Sandy, Lindsay, and I have all done the basically 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. thing in our younger days. Yeah. And
I remember that when we went for my 40th birthday, we did rope drop at Hollywood Studios, and then we had the Christmas party tickets for that night. And I made my kids wait till the second parade because I heard it'd be less crowded, and they were falling asleep. I was like, oh, we can leave. And they're like, no, Mom, it's your birthday. That was a mistake.
There is nothing sadder than being like the one in the group that wants to stay up all night.
That's always you, Lindsay.
I know it's always me. It's the story of my life. I'm on the bus to go to Magic Kingdom for extra magic hours after the Food and Wine Classic, and Andy and Bonnie, my friends, are on the bus, and Andy fell asleep. And then so they just stayed on the bus and rode it back to their resort.
It's been a long time since I did that morning to night thing. But I think that's for those people, and those are the people who I think are in many ways very stressed out about this, because they know Disney and they want it to be what it always is. Those are the people who are going to enjoy this the most when they get there, because they don't have to do every single thing. Oh, I can't ride that ride because it's down, because they can't social distance on it or whatever. Okay. I mean, if you've been before, if you're going to go again, then this is probably a great time to go, because it's never going to be like this again. This is the horizons of our lives. Like, this is the, you'll be able to tell the grandkids, well, back in 2020, when I went to Walt Disney,
the pandemic of 2020,
there was nobody there. And I mean,
and if anybody wants to adopt me to their family and add me to the reservation this summer,
I have reservations in September.
I'm not going this summer.
And my September reservations, it's for somebody's birthday, and she's starting to say, she might listen to this podcast, and she's starting to say, I don't know, it's not looking really good. And I'm like, we need to go. It'll be okay.
Like, we have a reservation. It's like striking gold.
We have a dining plan. Anyway, we were going to eat at all these places. And many of them were at Downtown Disney. You know, it's a big birthday party. It's a 50th birthday party. We're not talking about, like, you know, we're not 20-year-old spring chickens here. So we should do it. You know, half the things that we need to do it. But again, I don't blame her for being cautious. And we'll see how it goes. But September is, I mean,
you have to ultimately, for this, because it is a virus and because it is so, there are so many unknowns. Here should be our little disclaimer. If you have health conditions, if you are of a certain age, if you and anyone in your family has those type of issues and you live with them and you'd be going back to them, you have to make the right choice for your situation, because we're all in different situations.
And I should, we take it very seriously too. I mean, I have a friend who's been in the hospital for 60 days now, something like that. I mean, it's serious. So, and it could happen to anyone. So it all needs, and that's sort of the thing with this. If you're going to do this, you understand you're taking risks and you want to be as safe as possible. And that's where the masks come in. That's where the cleaning comes in. I will say, everything that I'm hearing about the way hotels everywhere, Disney included, are cleaning. Oh, I am way safer in these hotels than I am here in my own house.
I don't ever want them to go back. Like, the way they're describing, they're cleaning the hotel rooms. They need to never go back to how it was before, because they're putting disposable, cleaning the remote. I've always said the remote control is like the most thing in your hotel room. And now they're putting the sanitary, like, sanitizing it and putting the clean bags in between people on all these things. And they're really deep cleaning everything, which needed to be happening, like, a long time ago. I don't remember that. But
And they're talking about microns. They're talking, like, they're really looking at how they're cleaning, and they're cleaning all the high touch areas. And they're also then not coming in the middle of your stay and cleaning. That's the other thing, is bringing in their own germs to where you are. So your rooms will just be lightly touched, just basic things changed out while you're there, which seems like maybe a downgrade, but really for your health is actually better. So the trade-off of cleaning in between occupants deeply and then not cleaning as much when you're in the room, it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's ideal.
Trash and towels, that's fine. Yeah.
Yep.
And shampoo.
Well, you know. Yeah. Yep.
So has anybody read anything about the pools?
I read a rumor that Storm Along Bay was going to be closed during certain dates, but I can't remember what the dates were. But I remember you saying, Lindsay, that would be like a deal breaker for you.
It really, unfortunately, if I was staying at Beach Club, it would be a deal breaker for me, because I think it would break my heart to stay there and not be able to be.
Well, don't worry. Beach Club is the smallest of the villa resorts, and so it's very unlikely.
I would be getting, A, a reservation, and B, getting in there are slim to none.
Well, and then I had read that the alternate pool that you had access to was the creepy clown pool
over at Boardwalk.
That's the one I would never go in. You couldn't.
Well, and it's not that big. I mean, that pool is not that huge. So I
think the private pools might be.
It all comes down to social distancing. It'll be really interesting to see.
You can social distance in a laser.
You know, you can't, because you end up bumping into people. How many strangers? Oh, Lindsay, you're just making this up now.
Oh, they put chemicals in that pool. I'm not worried about pools.
Well, and even, I mean,
think of all the things that are in pools.
Don't think about those things.
I just need to be honest right now. What I'm really mourning is the loss of my Category 5 hurricane from Hurricane Jonas that I will not be.
Well, they didn't say the bar was closed. They just said the pool.
Hurricane Hannah's is outside of the pool.
It's outside of the pool area. I mean, I think that they might limit the number of people in there, so you got to get there first thing in the morning. Sit there all day.
Take out your spot. Also, no club level.
Right.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
What are you rushing? Well, that makes sense. It's like a buffet. You can't.
And if this is the death of the buffet, again, I am not complaining. I'm right there with the no buffets. But it does present a serious service problem, because buffets are quick turnaround. It's the easiest way to get people in and out with mass quantities of food in their stomachs. That's actually something I'll be watching really closely, because I do loathe a buffet. That's loathe with a TH, not with a V. It's loathe, hate. So I will not cry when they're gone. Same thing, even though this is not about cruises, on cruise ships, bye-bye buffet, no problem by me. That makes me super happy.
Now, the food is always such a better quality when it's made mm-hmm. for you in smaller quantities.
The theory is that a buffet can still happen as long as the servers are serving you and you're not serving yourself. And although half of my argument about a buffet is the food being out for long periods of time and therefore it can't be the quality that I would want, my other half of the complaint is I've literally seen people drop the tongs on the floor, pick them up, and put them back. Now, when I see that,
can a kid sneeze on the buffet?
When I see that, I give it back to the server. I'm like, this dropped on the floor, but I don't always see it. And I hate that I never know that I didn't see it. And so, yeah, you just don't know.
So growing up, I always heard that Vegas had like the best buffets, the best food. And it was so funny because as an adult, I finally got to Vegas and I made sure that we had scheduled to eat at these buffets because I was like, I'm going to eat at these buffets. And we ate at what was supposed to be like the top five buffets in Vegas. And I was like, this is
so
crap. Who told me?
Only twice in my life have I enjoyed a buffet. Once was at the Bellagio and once was Boma. The only two times I've ever enjoyed a buffet.
Like, the one I kind of enjoyed in Vegas was at the,
You have time to think about it, and you could write that down as a suggestion for a future podcast, because we're talking about this new world right now. So think about that and get back to us, because that sounds really interesting. But I think honestly at this point, and if I've learned nothing in the COVID-19 era, shall we say the new normal, it's wait and see, because what is true today is not going to be true tomorrow.
Yep.
And if it is true tomorrow, it won't be true the next day.
Disney has this way of making every single thing feel much more magical and making people feel so welcoming. I'm completely honest when I'm saying I'm jealous of the experience that some of these guests are going to be getting, because I think that Disney really takes this seriously, and they know that they're going to have to step the magic up a notch. And so you might be sad about missing some things, but you're going to get an experience.
Yeah, surprise and delight. And honestly, it's been a long time since Disney has completely surprised me when I go to the parks. I bet there's going to be some surprises.
Oh yeah, you remember when they were doing Your Million mm-hmm. Dreams mm-hmm. and just those little, it might just be a certificate that you wanted, but it felt like the best thing in the world to get that type of interaction. So for those of us who've been lamenting, I know there's been a lot of people lamenting, it's not the same last. I think that this is a this
different is not bad. That's my mantra. It's how I live, for sure.
Okay, well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'd love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Flyaway or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, Elizabeth, Lindsay, and myself, George, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.